World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm kind of excited this morning because, again, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. A new truth has come out, and I feel better about it. Now, look, we're going to get into a lot of stuff here today. Bear with me. But before we do this, I knew it. See, what are you talking about, Coach? I just knew it. I just knew that Donald Trump was about as Christian as 85% of the people you come upon in the streets. I get it. Did you ever try on your own to be good? Did you ever try on your own to earn your way to heaven? Did you ever do that? And then the question I want to ask all of you, I'm going to show you some stuff here this morning. How could Donald Trump be surrounded by what's that lady's name? Paula White. How could you be surrounded by Paula White and all these preachers coming there laying hands on you and all that kind of stuff? Simple question. We talked about it here yesterday. How many of you people aren't really Christians? I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Just have, the Bible says, have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof, and such men turn away. How many people do you come in contact with on a daily basis who go to church and got no idea what Christianity is about? You don't have to say anything. You don't have to say, boom, Vinny. Huh? How many? And then we sit back, we throw stones at others who don't appear to be Christian enough. George Bush was Christian enough for us, right? And they asked Poppy Bush one time, I don't know if you know this or not, they asked Poppy Bush about salvation. Poppy Bush, right, the first original person. And he says, you mean if you're talking about whether I had some road to Damascus experience? Well, the answer is no. Folks, what's the road to Damascus experience? Can somebody tell me what that is? What is the road to Damascus experience? What happened on the road to Damascus? Help me out there, Pastor Dale. What happened on the road to Damascus? Do we know what happened on the road to Damascus?
Yes.
Tell us, Dale, what happened for those who are just hanging on to heaven by the skin of their teeth. Go ahead. What happened?
A man named Saul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a teacher of teachers, is on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians and put them in prison. And all of a sudden, a bright light shined and shone forth. And even the men that were with him could hear that voice. And the Lord looked at Saul and said, Saul, Saul, why does thou persecute
me?
Why are you kicking at the goads?
Right? And what happened? What happened, Dale?
Saul was struck with blindness. And he told him of a man named Ananias who'd be in a city and that you were to go to him. And, of course, could you imagine being that guy? Hey, I'm sending Saul to you, and you were to lay hands on this guy. Let me tell you what. Then, so when he got to the city, he laid hands on him, and his sight was received. And you know what, Coach? People were still doubtful and fearful of Saul for another couple years.
Mm-hmm. So the road to Damascus experience was encounter with the Holy Spirit, with God. And it radically changed Paul. Paul became Saul. Or Saul became Paul.
No, Saul became Paul.
Saul became Paul. He became the greatest evangelist the world had ever known. Right? Are you with me, folks? Are you with me? And then you go back to the Bushes. The other Bush, he was some type of Mason, What was the name of his secret group at Harvard or Yale, wherever the heck he went? Come on, come on, come on. Somebody help me out.
I don't know, but he was part of the CIA underneath when Kennedy was a
skull and bones. Skull and bones.
Skull and bones. Skull and bones. He was, but yet we loved him. we loved George Bush, except he lied to us about 9/11, inside job, taking that thing down, got us in a war to kill millions and millions of people. Christian George W. Bush. You know I'm telling you the truth, right? Compassionate conservative. Thank you, Mel. Compassionate conservatism. That's the crap he fed us, right? Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's okay. It's okay to be honest here. And now all of a sudden, I'm going somewhere. This is all over me today. I got to get this to you. Hey, real quickly. No, I don't want to do that. Pull up for me. I'm looking on my computer. I'm going to get to Proverbs. I'm going to get to it all you want to. I'm sorry. Pull up. It says, where is it? Oh, my goodness. Oh, Trump wants to earn his way. The first one. Okay, friends. Hey, friends. Donald Trump is no different than 90%. No, that's too high. 70% of the people you go to church with. That might be a high number, Dale. It might be a high number. I don't know. So listen. Paula White around him, TD Fakes. I don't know, it's TD Fakes around him. All these around him. And he doesn't know the gospel. He doesn't know the gospel. Huh? He doesn't know the gospel. How can that be? Play it.
Save 7,000 people a week from being killed. I think that's a pretty... I want to try and get to heaven if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing well.
Donald Trump is revealing what he claims is his motivation behind attempting to broker a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. The 79-year-old president of the United States dialed in for an interview with Fox and Friends on August 19th and explained why he is taking action to end the war with Ukraine.
Just want to end it. I want to end it. You know, we're not losing American lives. We're not losing American soldiers. We're losing Russian and Ukrainian, mostly soldiers, some people as missiles hit wrong spots or get lobbed into cities like Kiev and towns. But, you know, if I can save 7,000 people a week from being killed, I think that's a pretty... I want to try and get to heaven if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing well.
There it is. Now ask yourself this. Me ask myself. I've been saying this. Trust but verify. Right? Think Donald Trump's a Christian? How can he be surrounded by all those ministers, Paula White, and not lead him in the prayer of salvation? Him not understand being born again, folks. This is the. In my opinion, this is the expose of his presidency. He has a form of God and he's trying to do the right thing. And those of us who are born again understand there's a lot of missteps. Hey, dude, you're missing it here and you're missing it there. You're missing it here. Well, how come he doesn't know he's missing it? Because he isn't born again and he's not getting good advice from the people that are around him. But anybody want to argue with that? Anybody want to argue with it? It's very, very clear. He's doing this good work to get to heaven. Hey, he's a Christian. He's an American Christian. Donald Trump is an American Christian. Just kind of leave it at that. Okay, cool. Let me jump in here. We got some stuff we got to get done here. Are you guys still staking? Still staking? Pray that you are. Pull up Proverbs 20 today. Who'd like to read Proverbs 20 today? Proverbs 20. I can read it, but who wants to? Little audience participation.
I'll read it.
Whoa. Who said that? Eileen, did you say that? Betty said
yes.
It? Eileen, you go.
Yes.
Hey, Betty, I'm going to let Eileen do it. She's an attorney.
And Betty's driving.
Betty's just driving, all right? So, Eileen, hey, folks, should be praying this as you place stones today. I got some stuff to show you. There's a is a spiritual earthquake. We're right in the middle of a spiritual earthquake. The Bible says the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we're starting to show up. And we're starting to see some impact. So, Eileen, if you would, I promise, I interrupt for a living. I may interrupt you. Proverbs 20. Go ahead.
Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Wow, you get drunk. You think you got straightened out. Sorry.
The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling.
Hey, cease from strife out there, some of you, will ya? Go ahead.
The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Wow, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Wow. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find.
Stop right there. You know what President Trump just did? Proclaimed his own goodness. He wants to get to heaven, wants to earn his way. But you can't find a faithful man. You can't find one anywhere. Go ahead.
The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him.
Stop a minute. Say what you want to do about Donald Trump. His kids seem to be somewhat moral, don't they?
Huh? Somewhat.
They're not crackheads. Something going on. Keep going.
A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes.
Wow.
Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Divers ways and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord.
Justice for this guy, but not justice for this guy, huh? Death penalty for this guy, mercy for this guy. Divers weights and divers measures are an abomination to the Lord.
Even a child is known by his own doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them.
Amen.
Love, not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread.
Wow.
It is not, saith the buyer. But when he is gone his way, then he is boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel.
Wow.
Take his garment, that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel.
Filled with gravel. What would that be like? A deceit makes your mouth filled with gravel afterwards.
Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips.
Uh-oh, be careful with flattery. Be careful.
Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good.
Here it is. Here's our government.
Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them.
Amen. A wise king does. But lock them up. Lock up Hillary. Lock them all up. That's what a wise king would do.
Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes, the inward parts of the belly.
Amen. 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 So we can, thank you, Eileen. So we can rest today, all of us. Take a deep breath. Relax. Donald Trump is an American Christian. That's all. He's an American Christian. The kind that you, every kind of run-of-mill Christian you run, you see every place that you go. And we expect of him a behavior that we don't even expect of our ministers. Bible says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Is your pastor exposing the unfruitful works of darkness in the culture, in the society? Jesus said we were the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Are we? Is the church the salt of the earth and light of the world? Then why have they locked it up? Why have they locked up the truth and we can't get it out? I've got some good stuff for you today. That's good stuff. Pull up number 8 real quick. Pull up number 8. I got a lot of good stuff, but if you want to get in there, look, I don't know who this guy is, okay? I don't know who this guy, I know Charlie Kirk. I don't know who the black man is. You ready? Go ahead.
So many Christians need to hear this.
I only do the gospel. I don't touch politics. How would you respond to an American pastor that
I'm not really sure where it's in the Bible. Like Joseph was a politician. Joshua was a politician. Elijah spoke to politicians. Elisha spoke to politicians. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were politicians. Solomon, David were politicians. I'm not really sure, to be honest, what Bible are they reading? Because it's definitely not the same Bible we are reading, right?
It's a dominant point of view because the majority of American churches stayed silent during this last election. They refused to speak out or even celebrate the reversal of Roe versus Wade.
A lot of churches in America are communists accidentally, and they don't know it. And the reason I say that, the goal of communism was to get Christianity out of the public square and was to get the church out of politics. Karl Marx literally said, my goal is to kick God out and destroy capitalism. When pastors participate in this lie of the church shouldn't speak about politics, they are going off to a communist worldview.
So many.
Wow. Huh? Put that in a check because somebody's going to need to show that one, right? All right. All right. Hang on. I got another one here. I got too many good ones to show you. Got too many good ones. Pull up number 11. Then I may just shut up and hear from you guys here today. Pull up number 11, Spencer. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know. Huh? I just love truth. I saw this, and it resonated with me. Bible says what? Bears witness. I hear my wife, Miss Yang, up there saying, honey, you're talking about the same thing every day. I know I do. The whole creation groaneth, waiting for the church to show up. And the church is retreating and hiding. How did we get such unchristian government with so many Christians? This is really good. Go ahead.
Listen to this guy. Crazy what he says.
Poor people of America. Not because they are weak, but because they were the first to see the machine from the inside. And I'm about to defend the working class of America like no one ever did. And by the time I finish, you'll see them with different eyes. For over a century, the American people have been fighting back. They have. Through civil disobedience, whistleblowers, grassroots movements, union strikes, and the relentless invocation of their constitution. The real battle wasn't red versus blue. It was corporation versus constitution. And every time the people gained ground, the system adapted. You have to understand something very important. When a system becomes parasitic, it doesn't destroy its enemies first. It destroys the host. And America has been the host. America was also the test lab. They were first to be flooded with addictive pharmaceuticals. First to be buried in weaponized debt. first to be psychologically fractured by engineered identity wars, first to be entertained into sedation, and first to be punished. Because if Americans woke up fully, it would be game over for the machine. That's why the system doesn't fear a foreign enemy. It fears the awakening of its own people. The American people are a hero, but no one told them they were living in the dragon's mouth. And what you're witnessing in the collapse of trust, the social chaos, the inability to distinguish truth from manipulation isn't because the people have failed. It's because the people have been systematically broken and then blamed for it. They are not the tyrants. They are the first line of resistance that's being crushed preemptively, so the rest of the world won't get any ideas. So what now? Do we abandon them? Do we mock them? Or do we finally recognize that behind the opioid crisis, the obesity, the division and the rage is a population in mourning? Mourning the death of its sovereignty, its family structures and its purpose. The question isn't whether Americans deserve to be free. The question is whether they'll remember that they were born to be.
Y'all listen to this.
Wow. I got another one. Okay, let me get another one up here. Yeah, put that in the chat. That's good. Put up, this is unbelievable, folks. Because we've been hearing about the gerrymandering. It says no Republican reps, Spencer. No Republican reps. Gerrymandering. Look at this, folks. Look at this. In Massachusetts, 36% of Massachusetts is Republican, and they have no Republican representation. In Connecticut, 42% of voters are Republican, and zero Republican representation in Congress. Maine, Jack, 46% of Maine is Republican, yet zero representation in the federal government. New Mexico, 46% Republican, zero seats in Congress. New Hampshire, Claudine, 48% Republican, no representation. Vermont, they only have 32% Republican, no representation. Hawaii, 38% Republican, no seats. Delaware, 42% Republican, zero seats. Well, that shows us something, doesn't it? That shows us something else. I got more to go. Come on in if you want to. Come on in. Come on in. I want to hear what you have to say. I got number six. Hang on. Number six. Good news. Good news. I'll get you, Kevin. Hang on. Good news. There it is. There it is. There it is. Hillary Clinton warns SCOTUS will do to gay marriage what they did to abortion. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. See, Hillary knows what's going on. She knows what's going on. Hey, friends. How could you call marriage between two members of the same sex? Now, if they want to form a corporate partnership, that's one thing. How has the church sat around and allowed that to be called marriage?
Amen. Marriage.
Marriage. Oh, I know why. Because the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And isn't it amazing that SCOTUS said no right to an abortion in the Constitution? And it went to the states. States didn't do anything about it. States didn't do anything about it. Why? I hate to tell you this. The whole creation is groaneth, waiting for the church to show up. It's starting to. That's why Hillary is worried that gay marriage is going to go away. Oh yeah, something. I did that one. Come on in, Kevin.
I think just about every state that is conservative or Republican leaning had passed statewide resolutions that marriage was between a man and a woman. And then the federal government stepped in. And I'm really disappointed in Paula White.
Well, how could Paula White be around, have the voice of the President of the United States, and him not be able to articulate the gospel? But let's be honest, we went through that yesterday, talking about whether or not you, not you, Kevin, but you folks, whether you're able to articulate the gospel. Are you able to do that? Huh? Are you able
it just confirms that wide is the way and narrows the gate. I mean,
many come few find.
I don't want to consider us special, Coach, but this group, and you're at the front, but this group is special.
Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Pretty clear. Our churches are full of them, right? Oh, I got so much good stuff today. Thanks, Kevin. Mark
and
Trump, on him, Mark.
Mark.
Betty, go ahead, Betty.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But yeah, 20 or 25 years ago, I heard on the news that the Muslims, they were to have as many babies as they could because what could they do when they're 18? Vote and start getting into office.
What's going on, man?
And I just lost another friend. She thinks Trump's our savior. And I said, he's not our savior and he's not saved.
Amen. He's not saved. Pull up number 9 real quick. Hang on, Mark. I'll get right to you. Pull up number 9. You ready? Islam. Go ahead. Unmute.
Ways, the importation of Muslims into your country or the spread of lower income, predominantly minority men. Would you agree with that?
And the left love Islam and they will import Islam. And we see that in Australia and in London. One of the major people in the Department of Education in London, he's literally an imam and a mufti. He's literally an Islamic scholar and an imam who preaches. You will see Islam make its way into the left-wing politics. That's one of the reasons the borders were open the last 4 years. It was intentional about changing the character of this nation fundamentally. The way to destroy America will be Islam. And this is very obvious in UK. Half of Americans are left, half of Americans are right, give or take. The only way for leftism to win permanently is to import a group of people that fundamentally hates the American freedom. That happens to be Islam.
Islam will be spread by...
Wow. Mark Trump, come on in. Do not be... Yeah, because
going back to all this confusion, how many ways are there to get to heaven? So if there's 45,000 different denominations and messages...
Right.
Who's confident in D.C., Paula White or any of them? How can they stand over top of 45,000 religions, over 10,000 Baptists, and say they know how to get to heaven? See, this whole country, this whole world has been divided in a way that no one's sure. They go to Methodist church, they go to Presbyterian, they go to 12 different Baptist churches. They all have a different way to heaven, Coach. So how is Trump supposed to know? He ain't on your show learning. This makes me so mad because we divide. And now you got Islam. Add in all the different Islam sects. How many are there? Now you got that many Islams fighting over their own religion. They all hate Baptists, but they're fighting them in fighting.
That's right.
If this, I mean, that is... The nature of the deceiver is to divide us, Coach.
Amen.
So how in the world is Trump supposed to know? Somebody tell me. Which one does he go to? Does he go down the street to the Catholic Church or maybe over across the corner to the First Baptist Church? First Baptist. What a joke. First Baptist, really? How can there be... thousands of different First Baptist, Coach. I don't understand. And we are the dupes. We are the dupes. Church of God. How many different ones?
Google Churches of God. See how many are, say, Churches of God. I didn't mean, keep going, Mark.
No, divide and conquer. Betty hit it. I mean, this is the nature of the enemy. He don't give a crap about any one of the religions. He just wants us to divide and fuss. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So now since we're divided and fussing, we put a president up there supposed to represent all 45,000.
Yep, that's right. That's right. That's right.
I mean to tell you, Coach, this is a master plan, and we're at the end of this master plan.
There's some sort of
logic that says we're all going to be one religion. It's all going to just like a piece of toast. The butter is just going to spread across it all the way to the crust, and everything will be fine. One religion. That's where we're headed.
Yep.
Really? 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 What's going to bring more than 50,000 religions together? A lot of death, Coach. A bunch of dead people. Okay? Yep. Now you got a few people left that say, what the heck? What just happened? I guess we're going to form one religion again. That's what will happen, Coach.
Amen. And
I don't know what to tell you about Trump and all these folks in D.C. vying for power, but I think it's all let's go. Every bit of it.
Amen. Amen. Up on the screen, click on Show More. Churches of God. This is just Churches of God. Diverse group. Emphasis on the Bible. Restoration of the original church. Varied beliefs and practices, right? Oh, Church of God. Church of God in Christ. Church of United Church of God. In essence, Churches of God represents a family of Christian denominations. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Isn't it really unbelievable? And then we would find out, do this for me, Spencer, percentage of Christians who voted Republican. See if you can find that. Because the idea is divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. Now, what do we get here? Christians, it says their support was Christians. That's Christians representing 72% of voters who turned out. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean they all voted for Trump. Other sources corroborate this by pointing out that roughly 8 out of 10 Trump voters identified as Christians. Huh? What about the other 20%? So we have white evangelical Protestants, 8 out of 10 voted for Trump. White Catholics, only 6 out of 10 voted for Trump. White mainline non-evangelical, whatever the hell that means, only 60% of them voted for Trump. Hispanics, huh? 63% voted for Trump. Hispanic Catholics, 55%. Black Protestants, you ready? Huh? Overwhelming support, the Democrat can. 83% of Black Protestants voted for Kamala Harris. Additional findings to Christian voters, Christian nationalism, boom. Okay, so this is, hey, folks, here it is, a problem. Michelle, I heard you. Same thing over and over every day, Coach, talk about the same thing. Well, when are we going to wake up and understand what the hell's going on? When are we going to understand that, thank you, Lord, that if unless we come together, the whole world groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Somebody help me out here. How many Christians don't like Trump? I mean, you have the right to not like him. I'm not saying anything. How many don't like him? Not Christian enough for you, whatever it is. And the choice was what? Kamala Harris? And people could not pick Trump over Kamala Harris. They said, well, Coach, look, here's the thing, Coach. I don't trust Trump. Yeah, I don't either. You trust Harris? Because one of them is going to be president. But you feel better because you voted for some third party candidate and your conscience is clear. Here's what you ought to be doing. This is what we ought to all be doing. We ought to all be out in the streets being Christians now, sharing the gospel, expanding the kingdom. And we don't. We retreat, eat, and meet. That's all we do. That's all we do. I heard you, Michelle. She didn't say it. I can read her mind. Same thing over and over, Coach. Same thing over and over. Come on in, Johnny.
Yeah, the land of milk and honey.
Yep.
We have a disciplinary problem. That's our problem. You know, while we're getting fat and lazy, sitting on a couch, doing this and that, not being taught, not being taught correctly because we have no one to teach us anymore. Because everybody, that generation is dying off. So now we're left with emptiness And so we just continue to sit on the couch, eat Ruffles, potato chips, and drink Jolly Good soda. And
Johnny, easy question.
Everybody else is coming into this country because they want the opportunity. They're disciplined. They know what they want.
Does God have enemies, Johnny? Does God have enemies?
You betcha.
Yeah. And Flip Benham taught me this about 20-some years ago. He says, Coach, you're going to understand what's going on when you realize that God divides his friends and unites his enemies. Oh, wait a minute. God doesn't do that. It's religion. Religion divides God's friends and unites his enemies. Huh? That's it. We're our own worst enemy. It's a family feud. We don't agree. Oh, you got to worship on Sunday. You got to do this. You can't cut your hair too long. You got to do woman's right to choose. That's what we're dealing with. And sadly, fundamental Christians, people call themselves fundamental Christians. Fundamental Christians vote for a person who's going to kill babies. Say what you want to. Donald Trump is the most pro-life president in my lifetime. Ever. He's the most pro-life, and Christians won't vote for him because they think he's mean. He's mean tweets. This is not the Donald Trump for President Network. I'm just telling you the truth. Randy.
Well, Coach, we have the first revelation here. We know that the only thing that's going to loose this evil and this corruption are the sons of God, right?
That's right.
That means the family of God, the weos. It's a Greek word. It means the family. It means the daughters too, but we just say sons because the men are the leaders. But Coach, there's a reason, Paul, the entire chapter or his paragraph when he wrote the letter has got the word spirit in it 30 times nearly. Why? He says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God.
Amen, brother.
See, okay, so should we be talking about all the points why we're not winning, or should we be teaching people how to be led by the Spirit of God?
Amen, 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 amen. Staking, right? Reclaiming territory.
Amen. And I'm going to say this too, Coach. Are we at the end or are we at the beginning? Look, Coach, all I know is I read Daniel 2, and whenever the prophecy came forward that stone, Christ, when he came to the earth, he would start a kingdom that would be forever. And you know says, Coach? It says it will consume all the other nations and all the other kingdoms. That ain't in heaven, Coach. That's here on the earth. So tell me we're not in the beginning of it. We are not in the end, people. You got to get out of your false last days end time mentality and understand that the kingdom of God is getting roll. It's rolling, Coach. We got to see it. We got to see that it's rolling through time, and that when we push it and not our agenda and not cultural agenda, but push the kingdom of God, it wins everywhere we push it, Coach.
Spencer, pull up for me Donald Trump's minister. I don't know how many of you guys know this. Donald Trump grew up under the ministry of Norman Vincent Peale. Did you guys know that? Norman Vincent Peale. See if you can pull it up there. Just put in Norman Vincent Peale. Young people don't even know who he is. Norman Vincent Peale. There he is. It's Norman Vincent Peale. Huh? And Norman Vincent Peale was what? The Power of Positive Thinking. There's the books he's written, right? Norman Vincent Peale was an American Protestant clergyman and author of Best Known Popularizing Positive Thinking, The Power of Positive Thinking. He served as pastor of Marble Collegiate Church in New York from 32, leading the Reformed Church in America. Alongside his Paul, yada, 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 yada. Peale led groups opposing the election of John F. Kennedy, faced the election of a Catholic, yada, 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 yada. This is whom Donald Trump grew up under in his Christianity. You understand that? You understand that? He was born in Bowersville, Ohio. That's down by the Ohio River, I think, right? The Power of Positive Thinking. That's where it started. That's where it started. And Trump was, what were you raised in? What were you raised in? And so when you come back and have some type of spiritual awakening, well, he's positive thinking, right? Earning your way to heaven. Folks, that ain't Christianity. Positive thinking. So we have to understand the roots that we're dealing with here. Click on, it says born May 31st. Click on Bowersville, Ohio. I think it's down by Portsmouth. Where is it? Greene County. It's part of the Dayton metropolitan area. Greene County. Oh, there it is. That little red dot. Bowersville. That's where Norman Vincent Peale was and poisoned American Christianity for a generation. Come on in, Dale. Donald Trump's pastor.
So what Randy is just saying, you know, what Schofield did, and it's just, Rusty Thomas has this great message. It was a few weeks ago, and he said the church is about to go through an identity crisis like never before because of this deception, because of this very thing that we're in this, and oh, it's all, no, Coach, let me tell you what, Flip Benham would say, it's not the end. And it's not the beginning. It's not the end of but it is the end of the beginning. In other words, boys and girls, it's just getting started. And when he said that he will unite your enemies and divide your friends, Luke chapter 23:12, and it says on that day that Herod and Pilate became friends. This is when Jesus was about to be crucified. He says they became friends, and they made it a point afterwards. It says because prior to this, they were great enemies. Let me tell you what, Jesus will unite your friends against you. That's why when we go to the abortion clinic, Coach, you'd see the Muslims, you'd see the homosexuals, and you would see the atheists out there. But if you took the homosexual and the atheist and put them in Iran or one of them Muslim countries, they would take you to the roof of the building and throw you off, because there they're divided. But against the kingdom of God, they'll be united.
Okay, so Spencer, do a Google. I should have it someplace. How many children, American children, have died from abortion? Are you sitting down, friends? And the church still does not have a clear message on abortion.
I'll give you that number before you even go in there, Coach. Since 1973, here in America, you are literally looking at about 75 million. That's surgical, Coach. That's not the plan B. That's not the morning after pill, all of those things. In the world, are you ready for this? In the world, since 1973, 1.1 billion, not million, Coach, billion children have been murdered through abortion.
There you go. 63 million. United States, 63 million babies have been aborted. And the church won't even talk about it. Won't even talk about it. What if those 63 million babies were raised in Christian homes? Here's a better question. I wonder how many Christians had those abortions. 63 million. And the Supreme Court said, no right to an abortion in the Constitution. And Ohio voted for abortion. Huh? Not one, not, hey, last sermon you've heard on abortion. Your hand's still up, Dale. Because look, folks, say what you want to. The moral issues is the gospel. The moral issue is the gospel. Now, we know you don't earn your way to heaven, but they gave us morality so we could all live together. Where was the American church in 1960? Is that when it was? Everson versus Board, that's 56. Stone versus Graham. Pull that down. Pull that up, Spencer. Stone v. Graham. Stone v. Graham. There it is, 1980. 1980! Stone versus Graham, the Supreme Court ruled that a Kentucky law requiring the posting Ten Commandments in public schools was unconstitutional. 1980. Now, my friends, how long had America been a country before 1980? 1776. That'd be 204 years. 204 years with the Bible being posted, the Ten Commandments being posted in the schools, and in 1980, it said no more. That's, sorry, man. Well, that's a violation of the Constitution. Wow. Isn't that something? So what's going on now on our watch that we could be preventing? How about marriage, protection of marriage? You see, we lose our authority on that because, are you ready? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Spencer, what percentage of Christians are divorced? I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, okay? I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. What's it say? Studies indicate that overall divorce rates among Christians are similar to the national average, 30 to 35%. It's lower for active Christians, thank goodness. For those who actually go to church, yeah, it's lower than that. Break a vow? Doesn't really matter, does it? Break a vow. All right. I'm kind of hanging out here all by myself. Somebody come on in. I'm sorry, Miss
Coach, Coach, you're proving. Coach, what's that? You're doing, you're proving that the Christian institution is failing in America.
Has failed. Okay.
But you know what, Coach? The kingdom of God isn't.
Amen on that one.
Big
brother.
Difference, Coach.
Big difference on that one. Those of us trying to advance the kingdom, those of you who are out staking revival, baby. Hey, by the way, Spencer, pull up number 10. No, hang on. Before you play that one, Spence, pull up 10B. I heard people in their churches praying for revival. So I looked up a revival. A return, recall, recovery to life from death. What? Yeah. Church needs to be recovered from death. To return or recall to activity from a state as a revival of spirits. To recall, to return or recovery from a state of neglect, oblivion, obscurity, or depression. Renewed and more active attention to religion, an awakening of men to their spiritual concerns. You understand revival means dead. You breathe life back into it. That's a revival. Go back to the other one and Spencer you just had up.
Genuine revival is intensely painful. Wilt thou not revive us? So if God has to revive us, that ought to tell us something about the state of our own hearts. We're in a state of declension. We're in a state of being backslidden, or we've lost our way, or we've lost vital reality with God. Mel Johnson said that revival is God pointing his finger right at me. Revival is God pointing his finger right at me. In other words, I'm not worried about what the other guy's doing wrong. In these seasons, it's intensely personal. It's intensely painful. But boy, is it intensely pleasurable after the cleansing comes from God. Genuine revival is in.
Wow. We preach about revival. Why do we need revival? Because we're dead. The church is dead. Needs revival. And see, how many of you, I'm sorry, every year your church has a revival. Revival. I got a revival every time I get up in the morning. I got a revival. Mike Blake gets in his car and drives over to the abortion clinic. He has a revival every morning. See, somewhere along the line, when Jesus told us we were the salt of the earth, we made Christianity personal. It became personal Christianity. And because it became personal, you kept it to yourself. In fact, they told you to keep it to yourself. Who are you to judge? Don't do that. Keep your morality to yourself. And we did. We did. What's the solution? Whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of God's people to show up. Betty, come in.
Well, I wanted to say if our churches had been truthful
and our news was truthful, you wouldn't have to be yelling. Then we wouldn't have as many podcasts and I wouldn't have met you. So, you know what? You need to keep yelling.
I am. Hey, some of you guys, you're already revived, man. You're alive. Come on, wake somebody else up. Come on. That's why this staky thing is so simple. So simple. Just so simple. I would think everybody in here, if you still go to church, you ought to be able to go to the church and have your pastor say, "Pastor, I would like to talk about staking. I've been doing the staking thing, and I want to see if anybody else in our church would be interested in doing it." How many of you think he'd give you the pulpit? Come on in, Jeff.
Hey, Coach. You know, church attendance is down, but it's up in certain areas, demographically. But sure. When the church is down, when it's suffering, when it's failing, or when it's persecuted, that's when the underground starts to thrive. And there are a lot of movements, just like what you're doing here with this show. There's so many I'll call them house churches because, you know, that's what we call them in China. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Home groups, house churches, small groups, gatherings, these kind of things. And then more and more are happening right now. And I think that, you know, if our population drastically declines, people are going to be doing that more and more and more. And you're going to see emptier buildings, but fuller houses and neighborhoods. And, you know, traveling to China, living there, going on 35, 40 years, I've been going. That's what I saw over there. Every time there's a massive persecution, the underground strengthens and they get deeper. And that's what's happening right now over there. It's almost impossible to evangelize because of all of the cameras and so on, and spies and such. But, you know, you can be a spy over there and get paid. Anybody can. Anybody. You spy on somebody, tell on them, you get paid. So that's another thing that nobody hears about, but happens over there. But anyway, sorry to hear my dogs back there. But I just wanted to say that grows and that gets deeper because, you know, there's a desperation and people see the truth of things.
Amen. Amen. It's been the generation it's our generation, the baby boom generation, 1960s. And now we've produced a second generation of non-Christian believers, sadly, most of us.
Yeah. But our age, your age, my age, you know, if you're 40 and over, you know, we must step out of our comfort zone engage with young people. You must. You got to find something.
I purposely engage my grandchildren in Christianity. I purposely do it. And we would do a lot better if some of our sermons in our churches were directed at young people. But we've done church the way we do church so long. Look, I understand why. You get me, Dale, right? Dale, I'd look. If the shoe fits, wear it. If I'm talking about you, then get upset. If I'm not talking about you, it's okay. I'm talking about church in general. If the gospel of the kingdom of God was really being preached, would we be in the mess that we're in right now? And so the solution is, go ye into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even in the age. Oh, and by the way, you will be hated of all men. You will be hated of all men when you go and tell them the truth. Because why? Because you are speaking truth to their lie that you can't continue to act like that and get away with it. Nobody likes to be corrected. So the promise is, when you come and you tell the truth, they're going to hate you, dude. They're going to hate you. And the bigger the church, the less truth being preached. Come on in, David. That's Arthur. True.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to say something about revival, because we all sit there and say we're going to pray for a revival like it's some future event that we're supposed to be receiving, and it's not. Revival is a present reality, and it's something that we, the church, need to release. It's up to us to release revival. I mean, that's what revival is. We've been so duped. We've been so bamboozled by the God of this world, by the prince of the air, the one that has pretty much taken over what we call the church, because that's not the church.
Amen. It's not. It's been institutionalized, and can I say it? Come on. It's a business. It's a business.
Coach, can I jump in on that?
Sure.
there is great, great value, I believe, in the local church. Now, you're talking about churches, and I know you always talk, you're generalizing, and, you know, maybe it's denominational and those kind of things, but, you know, and you're right. However, a healthy local church is vital to a healthy community. You get a healthy church, you know, it provides health to the community, it provides health to the state. So, you know, I just want to add that bit.
So, Jeff, then the question we have to ask ourselves is, how did the Luciferians get in control of our schools?
Well, good men doing nothing, I guess.
So that's why I keep coming back. I'm with you, man. That's right. I'm with you. There's a lot of good churches out there, but they don't, folks, come on. They don't work together. They don't partner together. Though they each have their own little kingdoms. You say, well, Coach, you have that here. Yeah, I do. But at least I don't call myself a church. We're a gathering of believers here. What is it Chad says? We pick up where the church left off. I never claimed to be a church. I never claimed to be a pastor. Trent, I'm sorry. I know Dale wants to. I'll get you in there, Dale.
Well, I agree with what he said, but what is a good community? You know, what is a good person? You know, yeah. The scripture tells me, and I agree with the scripture, that I deserve hell. You know, that I chose hell over Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and redeemed me, you know. So what is good? A lot of times we just see good people as just because your community is, I don't know, has a little bit of money or something like that. I guess we judge it by basically income and a cut grass. You know what I'm saying?
Trent, if public schools were put in there to teach the values of the public, we ought to take a good hard look at it, right? Are they teaching the values of the public, or does the public pick up the values of their teaching?
Sure they right, do. And I agree with them. The local church is everything. You know, the Christian body is everything. The Christian body is the only one who preserves the nation. But what is good? You know, what is good?
Hey, Trent, I don't know about you. I speak to members of my family. I have dinners with members of my family. How can there be so many different families in your community that are called churches and they don't even know their brothers and sisters? I have no desire to know their brothers and sisters. Dale, you've been waiting. Go.
Well, that, Coach, that hits the nail right on the head right there is the family. You know, we have the church is us. The ecclesia is people. The brick and mortar, a place where we can go in fellowship, is where we take our family. It's not, right. I mean, friends can never, to me, friends don't replace family per se. And we've done this thing to our families, Coach, to where they're scattered around the world. They're no longer growing up in the same network and in the same community and doing things together as a family. I think what I love about yours is that you all live on the same property. I love the fact that all of my family, all of my kids, all of my grandkids, we all go to the same church. We all felt they were here at 11 o'clock last night because my brother's in town. My siblings come. We do vacations together. Let me tell you what. You want a strong community church? Have a strong family. Because if the family's not strong, the church isn't strong. And if the church isn't strong, then the community's not strong. And it's going to go back to the family.
Debbie, come in quickly. You've got a minute and a half. Go, Debbie.
Yes. First of all, I wanted to say, and I don't know if this is the case, but often what the evil is meant, you know, when they about all these Democrats and everything's Democrat, even though we have so many Republicans, you know, I think that God will use it for good. You know, he uses evil for good, and that we may get some seats out of it because he may flip it around. But I just opened up the Bible to Matthew 6:1. It just so happened I did. And it said, take heed that ye do not your aims before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your fish father, which is in heaven.
Amen. Celebrity pastors. Coach Dave, you're one. No, I'm not. I'm just a coach sitting behind a microphone saying what I think. Ain't no celebrity. And God help us, deliver us from celebrity pastors. See you tomorrow.